In my favorite hymn, Amazing Grace, we sing about God's indescribable free gift of grace and of the salvation that His grace brings to us. And God's gift of grace truly is free. It's completely free. It's undeserved and it's unearned by anything that we could ever do. It is so free that all that you and I can do is to bow as low as we can bow and say back to Him, Amen. Amen. And then also, and thanks be to God, His grace doesn't begin and end with our salvation. He has also given us the sweet gift of His grace of sanctification, the Holy Spirit power through which we're able to work out the precious salvation that He has put into us. And that's to be our grateful response to His blessed grace. To work out the salvation that the Lord Jesus has worked into us. Those words given to us in Philippians chapter 2, listen carefully. Therefore, my beloved, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. From those words, we can clearly see that while we can't do anything to earn the salvation that we receive, we really do have some responsibilities required of us after we're saved. And this working out of the salvation that God has worked into our souls is the focus of our scripture passage for today, here given to us in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Listen, everyone to whom much was given, to him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. As we read these words of the Lord Jesus in today's passage, though they may be stern and demanding, He really is a kind and patient Savior. He's like a loving Father with a strong voice. He reasons with us about the matters that so often grab hold of us and carry us astray. Here with simple reasoning words, Jesus says, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern this time? These are simple words of reasoning, but given with sternness, and necessarily so. But why? And who were these ones that Jesus called hypocrites? Were they just those scribes and Pharisees and other would-be believers in God? Yes, they were. They were those. But not only those. Not only those. Among the crowd that day were probably also men and women just like you and me. Believers who truly want all that Jesus has to offer, but are still also weak-willed and easily distracted and easily wearied in well-doing. I use the word simple to describe these words because they really are simple. And they seem to be on the order of milk and not in the nature of real meat. And why would that be so? Why would that be so? It's because those people then, and even you and I now, very often choose to remain at a very simplistic level in our relationship with Christ, knowing very little and doing very little in response to the loving and generous gift of grace that He has shown to us in our salvation. Here in these words, Jesus is calling out to each of us who has ears to hear, saying, listen to me. There's more. There's so much more that's required. Verse 48, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You and I must not allow this warning and this reasoning to fall on deaf ears. I'm reminded of the reasoning that God used in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. There also, the words are simple, but the consequences of refusing to understand and of refusing to follow them are stern and they're more difficult than we'll ever want to face. There in Deuteronomy 30, beginning in verse 11, God tells us, this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It's not up in heaven that you should say, Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. Folks, how much clearer can God be? His truths and His requirements of us are not as difficult as we make them out to be. We don't have to do as so many do and go on some long pilgrimage in search of some mystical wisdom. As God tells us here, His commands and His plans are not far off, and they're not above our ability to hear and to understand, especially for us now who have the Holy Spirit living within us. The Holy Spirit gives light to His words and to His meanings. And because of that, you and I are without excuse. Listen also to the words that follow on to these. They're in the book of Deuteronomy. This is verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you shall live and you can multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursings. Therefore, choose life. These words, therefore choose life, they remind me of a time when, as a student, our oldest son, Jason, shared his testimony in an evening service at French Camp. The subject that he spoke about and that he returned to over and over again as he talked was that life is a series of choices that we make. Life is a series of choices that we make. And so it is. So it is. Choices, both right choices and wrong choices. And all those choices will eventually come together to define the outcome of both our daily life and also our eternity. And that's what Jesus is telling us about here in this passage. Here He's saying, I have given you so very much. I have given you everything that it takes for life and godliness. I've given you salvation. Salvation that has cost you nothing. Salvation that I alone have paid the fullest of cost to obtain for you. But now you must respond, He's telling us. Now you must begin to give your part in this equation of righteousness. Though it might often be deep and difficult for you to do, He tells us, you must do it. I've given you so very much. And for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And here also, Jesus speaks about a fire. And that fire is a holy fire that will begin to burn within the hearts of his people. A fire that will not leave us alone in our efforts to overcome the demands and the temptations of this world. His Spirit and His fire will live within us and will constantly provoke us on towards living lives that are filled with what He calls life and godliness. Listen to those words given to us in 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. How often do we hear foolish and weak-willed words flowing out of our own mouths? Words like, I don't know why I keep letting myself get caught up in all those wrong things that I do. Wrong choices, wrong habits, wrong behaviors, especially when I know these words spoken here are true. We know that we really do have His Holy Spirit abiding in us, giving us everything that we need to live and to do right and righteous things. And along with His pressing words, For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed of him, they will ask the more. We really do want to change. We really do want to change. But the question that seems always to come to my mind is, how do I get from where I am to where I know I need to be? How do I get from my unrighteous behavior on into the righteous behavior of Christ? Unfortunately, I believe that some of the roadblocks lie within our own misguided perspective about our Christian religion. Most of the time, it seems that we want our religion to do all the work for us. And it can, and it does. But intertwined within all that God does in and for us are some things that are on our side of the equation. Some things that are still required of us, of you and me. And until we're willing to step up and to do our part, that life and godliness that God spoke about here in these words will not move forward. And we'll continue to suffer the consequences of our behaviors. I'm reminded time and time again of that all-important moment when the Levites were carrying the Ark of God across the Jordan River. With the Ark resting there on their shoulders, they needed to put their foot into the water before the waters would begin to part. And when they did, then God did his part. He parted those waters, and the whole nation of Israel then was able to pass right on across through on dry land. God is constantly telling us about things like this. He is constantly showing us that he will do his part. But we need also to do our part in this divine equation of life. And right after his words here in 2 Peter that tell us that he's given us everything that we need for life and godliness, God adds the part that you and I are required to do. These are our steps into the water. And for each step that we take, God will enable the next and the next and the next. Listen, those words given in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort. Listen, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, those words that we just read before these, his divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Those words can begin to mystically become real and true in the ordinary daily behaviors of our life. But it's only as we step on forward and we begin to do our part, to add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And again, we need to understand, these are words of intentionality, words and plans and actions, words that require something of us. We can't expect to have this kind of life and godliness to develop within us if we insist on just floating through our days, living with whatever circumstances that come our way. Yes, to some extent, that can be appropriate, but not as a rule of daily life. Life and godliness requires being intentionally dedicated to these pursuits of adding to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. A former boss of mine used to love the expression, let's play it by ear. And we did that often. Instead of making plans and living by those plans, we would take life as it occurred each day. And that had some advantages. But here in these words, God is saying to you and to me that there's a point in time when we must move on from playing all of those things of life by ear. If we ever want to experience real life and real godliness, then we really must make every effort. Note those words. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. If we'll do those things, then there'll be a reward for us, a great reward. God promises that. In Hebrews 11:6, God tells us that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if we'll do those things, then our reward will be, as He tells us here in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and listen and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then He goes on to tell us, and if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if we possess these new qualities of righteousness, then we'll be effective and we'll be productive in our knowledge and our service to the Lord Jesus. And that's a promise from Him. That's a promise from Him. And listen, these are very practical works. Very practical works and behaviors. Works and behaviors that will keep us from the corruption in the world that's caused by evil desires that the Apostle Peter warned us about here. Those daily stresses of life, especially those within our families and those within our workplaces. They are practical works and behaviors that will keep us from getting caught up in some of the wrong things and wrong behaviors that Jesus speaks about here in this passage. Listen to these words in verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and he begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and to drink and to be drunk. Now, while you and I may not think of ourselves as being someone like this, or even be able to personally relate to these words, there are some people, even some who faithfully attend churches, that do exactly this. They physically abuse people, especially their family members. And there are others who may not physically abuse people, but they do mistreat them all the same, especially family members, and also co-workers, and subordinates that work for them. And folks, we need to take warning that instead of receiving a reward for a job well done, that there will be a deserved recompense that each person will receive for their behaviors, their misbehaviors, a recompense that we really do not want to suffer. Listen to these words, verse 45 again. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in his coming, and he begins to beat the male and the female servants, and to eat and to drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and at an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Now again, you and I might not be able to closely relate to this kind of behavior or this kind of punishment. But even so, some or even all such similar behaviors may be taking place either by us or at least through our lack of doing that which is right in the daily patterns of our life. But God is calling you and me into a pattern of life that's far above all of this, a pattern of life that is summed up in those words that He gave us a moment ago, life and godliness, life and godliness. And again, He has fully enabled us to do it. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Our required response to God's divine power and His divine grace will be a series of daily life choices. Daily life choices. Choices that we must make if we really want our life and our eternity to turn out right. Think about it now, folks, while God has opened our minds to it. And consider the warnings that Jesus gives here in this passage and to the punishments that go along with these kinds of wretched behaviors. And then consider all the blessings that go along with life and godliness. And which choice should you make? Which choice should I make? Isn't the best choice an obvious one? That's why Jesus uses such simple reasoning with us here in this passage. It really is just a matter of making the simplest of right choices. Listen to these words again from Deuteronomy 30, and we'll close. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in His ways, and by keeping His commandments and His statutes and His rules, then you'll live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. But if your heart turns away, and you'll not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, we really do want to make right choices. And we know that you've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. And it's especially through your gift of the Holy Spirit. So help us, dear Father, to respond to your great grace of salvation and your great grace of sanctification and join you in your righteousness. Oh, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.